Okay, praise the Lord. I don't think we're going to make it through this whole thing today. I didn't think so while I was putting it together. And after our extended time of sharing this morning, I feel like we'll just cut it off at a certain point and pick it up next time. And that's all good. And what I'm going to encourage you to do as we go through this, there will be times when I speak, and it'll be basically just me talking and preaching, sharing, teaching, whatever, and not so much interaction apart from all the hearty amens I get. But times like this, when we talk about this type of thing, I want to encourage participation and encourage people not waiting till the end to add something or to ask a question or whatever, but to allow that to be a part of what takes place. So just know this, I want to encourage that this morning, that as we go through this, feel free and please participate in this. In fact, I'm going to ask for the scriptures that are in here. I'm not going to read them all. We're going to take turns reading them. You guys who are part of the leadership development training, we did go through this. It's been updated a little bit since then as I've added some definitions. It's basically the only update I've done on it. But we've been through it before, so you'll have seen this. But as we talk about what it means to be a body, and remember our pattern, we're following the pattern that Jesus established in that He gave His disciples a mission. We call it the Great Commission, but actually it was a mission. He gave them a mission. He said, I want you to take this gospel of the kingdom and go into all the world and fill the earth with the good news and make disciples of those who respond. And He told them that was going to be their mission, but He told them, don't get started on that first. There's some things that you need. And they came together as one after He ascended on high, and they were waited on the promise of the Father, which is the Holy Spirit. So they came together, they prayed together, they came and they bonded together, they became as one together, and the Holy Spirit fell upon a hungry, seeking group of people who had become one. And so we want to see the Holy Spirit come upon us to empower us for acts of service so that we can go forth and reach the ends of the earth. We have the same mission as they had. But what we want to do is make sure that we have a strong foundation. And our foundation is going to be that, number one, we love the Lord with all our hearts. We love and serve and minister to one another. We are filled with the Holy Ghost and power. We learn how to operate in that. And then we take that message with power and with a safe place to bring people into. I'm so tired of seeing people one to the Lord and yet not the army not growing. There's more soldiers, but no army. And I don't care how big the number of soldiers get, if we don't learn to become an army, we're not going to get the job done. So we're going to take this pattern and talk about more about what it means to be a body, what it means to be a part of this one another, to the oneness that we're to have, that all men would know that we're His disciples because we have love one for another. Talk about that, flesh that out more, and learn how to live in the good of that. And then I believe the Holy Spirit will really begin to move amongst us, to energize us in how we deal with one another and then how we reach out to the world. So that'll be our plan. And I can't wait to get into the things concerning the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit and how they're to be manifested. And Jason covered some of it when toward the end of what he was preaching there at Blue Water Oaks. I thought that was so good. We're going to get into that again and get into it possibly in a little bit more depth. But also, whatever we talk about, I want to encourage you, don't just be a hearer of the Word. We're hearing these things so we can learn to do them. And if if we don't take it and put it into practice, then we're going to end up losing what we got, and we're just going to have a head full of knowledge, and it's not affecting us, and we don't need to do that. We need to start putting these things into practice. So when you hear things, and when you learn things, and when you're challenged about things, don't make a point to try to implement these things. Okay, well, what I've done, I've gone through, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me one time concerning the one another scriptures. I read a couple places, one another, and the Holy Spirit said to me that He wanted me to study the one another, to pull them out of their overall context and compile them in order to get a better picture of what it means, what responsibility we have. One another just means one to another. When we talk about one another, it is me to you, you to me, you to you, Eric to Michael, Jason to Susan. It's one another, one to another. And as I started pulling out these one another scriptures, I began to see that they fell into main categories. And the highlighted and underlined, the bolded and underlined words are the main categories, and I'll quickly read through them. We have agree, honor, esteem, forgive and forbear, edify, gather together or be joined together, pray, submit to or be subject to, have fellowship with, minister to or serve, care for, teach, admonish, exhort, comfort, greatly warm or make welcome, greatly, greet warmly, greatly warm, greet warmly, and make welcome, and then love. Those were the main categories that I saw as I began to compile these one another scriptures. And I'd like to go through them. Like I said, we'll make it a short way through these today, and then we'll pick up next time and go through it again. But I'd like for us to, instead of just to quickly go through it, I want us to see what it says and contemplate the meaning and see what it means and what it should mean to our lives as we relate to one another. So first of all, let's look at the first one, agree. And there's no particular order to this. I think I put it in this order to fit the page the best, so I didn't have one category spilling over into another page. So that's my reasoning behind it. There's no sense of order to these as far as importance or anything. Let's consider them all to be equally important. Agree. To agree together means to sound together as one. It comes from a Greek word where we get symphony. And in a symphony, you have many instruments being played, having different notes being played. There's the main melody, then there's harmonies with that, and there's all these different instruments that go together to make the symphony. And as we are in agreement with one another, we are to speak and to allow things to come forth in our mouth that we are all saying the same thing. Now, you're maybe saying it with a little bit different accent. We don't all sound exactly the same. There's a different sound to us, and we're all unique, and we manifest things uniquely. Each instrument has its own sound. And within the trumpet section, there's like three or four different parts that a trumpet would play in a symphony. The same way with the clarinets and the oboes. And there's all these different instruments, but they all are playing the same music, and it's a beautiful sound. So you're not going to say everything exactly the way I say it. I don't want you to be a carbon copy of me. I don't want... Everybody say praise God for that. I'm not looking for that. I'm not looking. And I don't think anybody should look for somebody else to be a carbon copy of them. we express the life of Christ uniquely and individually, but we shouldn't be so unique and individual that we're on a different, doing something different. We've got to be together. And when people look at us, they hear a symphony. They hear the different instruments being played. But they hear the one piece of music. It's not in conflict. We're in agreement. And that's what it means to be in agreement. Not that you would say the same thing I say the same way I say it. There will be things that are like that. But then there will be things that you express uniquely. And it'll come out of your mouth using your words. That's why when prophecy, the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet, and how a prophetic word comes forth, it'll sound different. If God gave me a prophetic word about a certain thing, it'll be said a certain way. If God gave Jason that prophetic word, the same word, it would come out of his mouth. It would have the same point and the same purpose and have the same effect, but it would come out and it would sound like Jason. That's why we got to be careful, and I'm getting ahead of myself talking about the gifts of the Spirit here, but we got to be careful. Oh, that was just Jason that said that. We got to hear the voice of the Lord coming out of Jason's voice. We got to hear the voice of the Lord coming out of Steve's mouth. It's just because it sounds like me, don't discount it. Because God moving through me sounds like me. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
So, it'll sound like me. It'll have my accent. It'll have this sort of twang. It's not as twangy as it used to be, but it'll sound like me. It won't sound like Paul Randerson. It won't come out with an English, Yorkshire English dialect. It'll sound like me. It'll use some of the words I know. God's not going to supernaturally tell me words that I don't know. It'll be used in language that and as I grow and learn and my vocabulary expands, God can have me use more words to express what He wants to say. But as we agree together, it's all of us in our unique way saying the same thing in the way that God gives us. Is that understood? Okay, let's talk about agree. Susan, if you would you read the first scripture there, Romans 16? 12, 16.
Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit.
Okay, be of the same mind one toward another. Having the same mind. There's two things that go together in Scripture that always accompany agreement or oneness. And it's two things are the same mind and the same mouth. When we have the same mind and the same mouth on something, we're in agreement. If we're thinking totally different things in different directions, not the same thing with different levels and layers, but I'm talking about different directions, we're not in agreement. And when we're not saying the same thing in our unique way, if we're not saying the same thing, we're not in agreement. So agreement is having the same mind and the same mouth. And when you read the scripture, remember we're recording, so make sure you read it out nice and loud. Let's go around the room. Jennifer, if you don't mind.
Romans 15:5. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be heart-minded one toward another.
Okay. We need to agree with one another. That needs to be something that we always strive for. And never settle for disagreement. When there is disharmony and disagreement, I have so many people say, well, that's just how it's going to be. No, that's how it is. But how it is and how it ought to be are two different things. We need to stop settling for how things are all the time. We need to pursue how they ought to be. You as a person, how many of you are satisfied with how you are? Anybody have no more room to grow spiritually, change as a man, as a woman, as a husband, as a wife? Anybody totally there yet? No. If you think you are, we need to talk. We all need to grow. So we all need to press for where we need to be and not be satisfied to stop where we are. And that's how it is with an agreement with one another. We need to press into that. That ought to be important to us. As a one another thing, we need to learn, know that we want to be in agreement. And as people look in on us and people evaluate us, as people decide whether they want to be a part of us or not, part of what they look at is the fact that, hey, these people are in agreement with one another. And the Scripture says that there is power in agreement. There is power in agreement. There is a destruction that comes through disagreement and not saying the same thing. We could spend a long time on that. These are all subjects in themselves. But suffice it to say that part of what we want to have with one another is agreement. Next is honor and esteem. This is the next main heading we're going to talk about. Honor means valued or has a fixed price. Remember we talked about, or we listened to Colin Urquhart talk about honoring one another and showing honor and how it's different than respect. You can respect somebody and not honor them. You can respect their wisdom, you can respect their position in life and what they've attained to, but not honor them, not show a value, demonstrate that they're valued. This word honor comes from something having a known fixed price that is valuable. It's not something you barter and think, well, I can get that at a cheaper price. I can talk that down. No, it's knowing it is valuable. When you honor somebody, you know that they have value. And you respect and esteem the value that you place on them. To honor somebody is to give them value, to allow them to have value in your mind. If you don't value somebody, if you don't value their... hello, darling. That's all right. That's all right. I think I cried in church once. If you don't value somebody, you can't honor them. If you don't know that they have worth... I remember playing football over in England, American football, and the teams that we played against, they were made up of mainly, you can only have two Americans on your team, so everybody else had to be English, and most teams had one or two Americans, but that was it, because they wanted to develop the game over there, and they didn't want it to be all Americans. These English people playing football were playing because they loved the game. Their friends thought they were crazy. They didn't get any respect. There wasn't cheerleaders. You know, oh, he's so wonderful. They didn't play for the cheerleaders. They didn't play for respect. They didn't play for their parents. Everybody thought they were crazy. They had to pay money to buy their uniforms. They had to pay money to buy their pads. They had to pay money to rent the field, to pay for the referees. It was an expensive thing. They had to take time off on their weekend to go on the game. They had to take time off to practice. When you started playing against people like that and you realized the other team, in order to have a game, you had to have an opponent, you valued the other people. You were thankful. They would, after the game, they would come to the other team and they would all say, cheers for the game, mate, or thanks for the game. They really meant that, because if the other team didn't show up, everything they did during the week was for nothing. You even valued your opponent. You honor something that you realize has value. And we have to come to the place of realizing we need one another. That, like I said last week, we can't do this alone. We can't get to the place where, you know, it's us four no more and we're happy with that. We're not getting the job done. We need one another. I need what Michael brings. I need what Jason brings. I need what... you're not Eric. Anthony. I need Eric too. But I need what Anthony brings. I value that. And when it's not there, I miss that. That's what to honor means, is to value, to realize it has a fixed price. And to esteem means to consider or to account that it has worth again, and to consider and think about. So with that in mind, what those words mean, let's read Romans. Who's next? Okay.
Romans 12:10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, and honor preferring one another.
See, in honor preferring one another. How could you prefer somebody that you don't think has any value? If you don't recognize their value, then you can't prefer them. So we have to recognize the gift of God that's resident within each one of us. We all carry treasure in an earthen vessel. And sometimes we get so caught up looking at the vessel, we forget the treasure that's inside. That's what I was alluding to earlier. I know that I have the treasure of God on the inside of me, and I know just as much that it's carried around in an earthen vessel. And I hope that you would see past some of my dirt in order to appreciate and value the gift of God that's in there. And the closer you get to people, if you're not careful, you can start seeing more of their humanity and less of what's deposited in that humanity. You can start not valuing your husband or your wife and what's there and the wisdom that they have or the insight that they have, because you see them when they make the stupid things and say the things and are sharp with you or something. And so you start seeing that, and you fail to realize that underneath that and inside of that, there's a gift of God. And we have to look beyond things. That's why the scripture says love covers the multitude of sin, because the treasure is on the inside. And that's, I've said this, you've heard me say it before, and I'll say it forever. Susan is the most godly person I know. Not just woman I know, person I know. Why? Because, sure, I see her humanity, and I see the things that aren't what it ought to be, and her irritableness sometimes, and whatever else goes on. But I know the treasure that's there. I know how deep it is, and I know how consistent it is, and I know that I have to honor that. The God Almighty dwells within my wife. And I appreciate that. And I, when I'm thinking right and when I'm doing right and when I'm being how I ought to be, I value and honor that and I esteem that. Okay. Philippians 2:3.
Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Each other.
Uh-huh. Well, it means each other, but... Yeah. That's King James. Okay, anybody want to share anything on this before we move to the next one?
Yeah. Sorry, I've just recently acquired a new responsibility in the position of my employer. And this is the first time I ever had a sort that I really had to work on and do, and I ran into some problems with a co-worker of mine. But it wasn't his fault. It's some things I didn't see in myself that I actually noticed, that I was trying so hard to do it right, I was doing it wrong. In communication, I actually didn't consider the person I was talking to and how I was talking to him. So it's like when I read, I had to do it in lowly of heart and like with meekness and kindness. But because it was there, I was trying to, I really need you. And I didn't notice the way I was talking to that person. But when I actually came back to this brother in Christ, he's a brother in Christ as well, and we talked about it, and I said, well, I didn't see that. I'm so sorry about it. You know, and if you see it, I would prefer you to come tell me and show me where I went wrong. And it's like because I had this, I took a step when actually I was supposed to stay right there and use what God has given me and stay lowly as far and be considerate of my brother's feeling as well as mine. So that goes on the esteem and point. I had to make sure I consider everyone around me before I made that action.
Mm-hmm.
And I really had to learn from that, and I'm glad you had it because it really hit me. That's why I looked down like, oh, me right there.
All right, praise the Lord. All right, let's go to forgive and forbear. Forgive, actually, from the Greek word, means to pardon by grace. Its root is grace. It comes from the word which means grace. And it's to give pardon to somebody by grace. And what does grace mean? It means that something is extended that is not deserved. You know what? Too oftentimes when we talk about forgiveness, we'll forgive somebody who've earned their forgiveness by coming and asking for forgiveness and showing penitence and showing a meekness and showing contriteness, a contrite heart. They've earned forgiveness. That's not true forgiveness. Now, on our part, if we've offended, we do need to do that. We do need to humble ourselves. We do need to go to someone. We do need to show contrition. We need to show that we really mean that we're sorry when we say we're sorry. Those are important on our part when we're seeking forgiveness. But when we are giving forgiveness, true forgiveness doesn't need that. All it needs is an act of the will to give pardon when it's not even deserved. Now, I knew that. I was telling Susan about this last night, you know, because I was researching the words and everything. She said she was surprised that she said, "Didn't you know that already?" Don't you remember all these years I've been teaching you that? No, I'm teasing. And I did know exactly what I said. I knew that by context. I knew that about how forgiveness is given in Scripture and what He demands of us. But it was so neat to see it by the etymology of the word, where the word comes from, that the word actually means to pardon by grace. And that's what I was saying to her. It was exciting to me that this concept that I already knew, I saw it afresh from a different aspect. But anyway, that is what forgiveness means. It is to pardon by grace. And to forbear means to hold up or to endure. If you forbear someone, then you hold up them and you hold up with them and you endure through things. You don't just drop them like a hot potato. To forbear is to maintain course even though you're going through storms. Even though it's a difficult time, you forbear. And how many of you know you need that in a marriage?
Amen.
You need it in a marriage. You need it in every relationship of life. You need it in business relationship. You know, you need it in all aspects of life. Parent, child, child, parent. Okay, let's read these scriptures here. Ephesians 4. We'll forbear.
And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, forgiving you, has forgiven you.
I have seen this in almost every church I have ever ministered in or been a part of. And it, people making allowances for wrongs done both sides making allowances for the position that they're taking on a particular thing, to where they both are harboring things against one another, continuing to go into the same church and continuing not to have true fellowship or to offer true forgiveness or to seek restitution because both believe that they're right in the thing and both believe that the other one needs to do something about it. When we go back, forgiveness is giving pardon from grace. Sometimes forgiveness comes before full restitution. It's like we make the restitution, we get everything right, and then we forgive. No, that's not how it works. We forgive as an act of our will, as an act of grace, given to somebody before they deserve it, and then God can move. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13.
Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any may have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you.
You couldn't get any plainer than that. Forbearing one another, holding up, stay together. Don't fly apart. Don't lose all semblance of relationship. Stay together and forgive one another if any man have quarrel against any. So this covers all quarrels. I don't think anybody has a special quarrel that they can hold on to that falls out of the category of any. Any means all and every. Forgive and forbear. Anybody got anything on this one they want to share? I think we'll do one more. We might do two more. All right, edify. Again, the main category of things that we should be doing to and for and with one another, one to another. Edify. Edify just basically means to build up. It comes from a term which means building. It's actually building like a building. And it has a lot to do with building from a foundation up. Not just going in and building anywhere, but building properly and building from a foundation up. So to edify means to be a part of building in someone else's life and seeing at the foundational level where they need to be shored up and to help build and to be a part of the building process in their life. So let's look at these next scriptures. James 4:11. Debbie?
Be taught in the life of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge.
Okay. Jerry, you want to do 1 Thessalonians?
Therefore, comfort yourselves together, edify one another, even as also you do.
Now, on this one, this talks about comfort. This scripture is probably used again when we talk about comfort because there's two different things in there. So this scripture will probably come up again. And there's a few others that are in because of the complexity of the what's being said. It falls under two different categories. So that's one of them. Edify one another, to build one another up. Vera, would you like to read Romans 14:19?
Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, things wherewith one may edify another.
Okay. We follow after or we pursue the things which make for peace and things that we may use to edify one another, to build one another up. That should be our goal when we're talking about one another. It is not attacking one another. It is not destroying one another. It is making peace with one another. It is building one another. That should be our goal. When we see one another, when we think about one another, when we interact with one another, our goal should be, what can I do to build Michael up? What can I do to build Jennifer up? How can I be used of God to build something in their life instead of tear down? Now, sometimes a part of building means, especially when you have a relationship that will bear it, that you work in their life to help tear down things that don't belong. If they're going the wrong direction, doing the wrong thing. And let me just use this opportunity to say, last night on Facebook, I saw something that a relative of mine had, what I thought, posted on there, a video. And it surprised me because I didn't think this relative would do something like that. And I thought, well, I need, instead of just judge them, Susan said I rationalized this out wrong. I probably did. But instead of just judge them, I thought, well, if I click on it and see what it is, maybe it's not what I think it is, and maybe I don't have to judge them as doing something wrong. If indeed it wasn't wrong, it looks wrong. So anyway, I clicked on it, and as a video came up, and there were some things I didn't bother reading. I clicked yes on that, and then the video came up, and it was what I thought it was going to be. It was something that shouldn't have, you know, I shouldn't be watching, and my relative shouldn't have been watching, and everything. I didn't watch the whole thing. I watched a little bit of it and clicked off of it, and I thought that was. And then I still wondered, why would she put that on there? And then I got off of it. And then I realized I'd kind of been tricked, because what I agreed to when to get to the video was agreed that it would be shared on my thing. And I think she had done the same thing. She probably got with one of her friends, thought, you know, why is that on their thing, and looked at it, and then all of a sudden it's broadcast to everybody that she looked at this video. And I thought she posted it. She didn't. It just said she viewed it. And so here I got this thing on Facebook that looks like, I think, oh no, what do I do? I felt like going on there writing a thing on Facebook saying, hey, anybody, if you see that I looked at. I got duped and trapped with that. Yeah, there's a lot of things I did wrong in that one. Anyway, the reason I said all that was to say, sometimes people do need help. Sometimes people are allowing things in their lives that are destroying them. And to help them, to build them up, you need to help tear out some stuff that's wrong in their life. And our relationship ought to bear that. And I want to give everybody the opportunity, if you see something that doesn't look right, if you come across something like that on Facebook or anything that looks like, hey, what's Brother Steve up to? Don't go in your prayer closet and pray for me only. Do that. But come talk to me and say, what were you doing looking at that? I might be able to tell you, hey, that's an accident. Or I might be saying, that was a sin. You know? But I don't want to run from that. I don't want to hide from somebody speaking into my life and helping me, because for you to build me up is not always just to tell me, you know, oh, you're a great guy. I need to hear that. But if I'm doing wrong, I'd like for you to lovingly come and at least question what I'm doing. Our relationship needs to, and we'll get into that more as we go in this, but I just want to say that out front, that to build somebody else up, sometimes you may need to address an issue in order to build them up. But we always go with the intent of building up. We never go with the intent of tearing down and leave them in shreds. You know, don't dare think you're doing God a favor by come talk to me, come shout in my face saying, I thought you were a man of God, blah, 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 and just walk off and leave me. Come with the intent of, first of all, finding out what happened, and then secondly, with the intent of me ultimately being left built up by you. which means maybe something has to be dealt with. I need to repent of something, which I don't think I do at this point, but I'm just telling you, if it's ever a thought. And we need to be that way with one another, okay? So, but the intent is to edify. Don't ever leave somebody torn to shreds and walk away feeling all justified with yourself. Like, boy, I let them know, didn't I? No, we need to build one another up. All right, one more. Y'all ready for do one more? Okay. Our another main heading is gather together or be joined together. There's no explanation needed in that. We just need to obey the Scripture. Now, there's times when people aren't feeling well, and they can't. There's times when, and I'm not talking about feeling well, I'm talking about really sick. I'm not talking about I don't feel like it today. That's something different. Or I've had a hard week. We've all had a hard week. We don't fail to minister to one another just because we had a hard week. If you're really sick and you really got physical things going on and you can't make it. If you're out of town on vacation, you're celebrating your anniversary, whatever. There's reasons why we shouldn't get together. But if we're constantly looking for that, something's wrong. Like I said, being in a place where you think, man, I don't want to miss because, you know, what testimony does somebody have? What goodness of God, what manifestation of the Holy Spirit might I miss out on? I might miss the first prophetic word that comes out of Eric. You know, I might miss a message in tongues that came out of Vera, an interpretation that came out of Jerry. Well, I don't want to miss that. An expectation of God doing something amongst us should drive us to want to be together. An expectation, hey, I don't want to miss God using me in the lives of somebody else. I might be the very thing that puts somebody over. The word God gives me, the encouragement God gives me, what a song that God puts on my heart to sing might be the very thing that puts somebody over and gets them to a place of victory in their own life. And how can I deny the body of Christ that? For no good reason. So this isn't something that needs a lot of Greek or Hebrew. We just need to obey it. Amen? So let's read these three scriptures here and call it quits for today.
Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as ye see the day approaching.
Okay. 12:5, so we being are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another.
We're members one of another. We belong together. We come together. I put it this way: we come together because we belong together. My arm has no problem being attached to my body. It likes that position. It likes being near my body. My arm doesn't like the thought of being attached, detached from my body and laying in a ditch somewhere else. A healthy arm knows it needs to be attached. A healthy member of the body of Christ knows that it needs to be attached to the body. Now, I give my arm rest from time to time. I let it just lay there and do nothing. Okay? So all of us need times when we're away and we're not dealing with the body from time to time. But, you know, my arm really likes being there. So it gets tired of resting and wants to do things with the body. And that's how we ought to be. And the very last one I'll read, Ephesians 4:25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak truth every man with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Because we're members one of another, we need to be joined together, and we need to be joined together in such that we do things to benefit. We don't lie to one another because we're part of one another. We wouldn't want to deceive ourselves. Some people do, but they don't benefit from it. We don't want to deceive ourselves. Why would we want to deceive people we're a part of? We don't want to hurt ourselves. Why would we want to hurt people we're a part of? Because we're really hurting ourselves. We need to realize we're members one of another, and we should gather together and be joined together. And you'll see every time the Holy Spirit fell in the book of Acts, in a powerful way, they were all together in one place. Being in one place is so important. We're not just spiritually connected. We have to be physically connected as well. The Holy Spirit didn't fall on them because they were spiritually one in some ethereal way that they were connected. No, they were one place and in one accord. They were one in mind, but they were also in one place. So being gathered together is very important. Let's value this time that we gather together. Anybody got anything they want to share? All right, remember, we're not just hearers of the word, we're doers. So as God shows us things, do we have people that are part of our body that aren't here today that may need something from us apart from our prayers? They definitely need our prayers and our continued belief on their behalf. But they may need something. They may need somebody to run to the store for them, get some, you know, juice or whatever. They may need somebody to help them with some laundry. They may need some money. Let's be aware. Hey. Let's be aware of what's going on and then seek the Lord. And it doesn't have to be a spiritual understanding either. Hello. It could be that we need to just reach out and say, hey, do you need anything? Can I help? That's part of being a body. So let's put into practice. So right now, with what we already know, Michael, do y'all need anything in your home? Okay. Vera, you need anything?
Just all of you's prayers.
Okay.
We can use everybody's prayers. Each person responds.
Excuse me. Well, those that aren't here to speak for themselves, Crystal, the Morrises, let's reach out to them. It doesn't matter if they get too many phone calls. I think too many phone calls is better than not any. And let's reach out and see. Hey, buddy. Let's see if there's anything we can do to be a help to them. Let's close in prayer. Eric, would you mind praying?
Father God, we thank you for us being gathered together. God, we will not forsake that. Lord, we want to glorify in all things. We want to be doing all these things one to another, God, to build each other up, God. Let us build each other up on a daily basis, consistently, God, just seeking your face, letting your will be done and your kingdom come in our lives, God. We thank you for what you're doing, God, what you will do with your body. We're so grateful for the word that's been brought forth today, God. May we not just be hearers of your word, but also do.
Jesus
Christ.
Amen. Amen. Amen.